welcome to the True Blue LA podcast, where we still have hope. Eric, you have hope, right?
Yeah, I have hope, and I'm not solo. So,
well,
I hope the
anytime you can make a soccer pun, you just got to go for it.
Yeah, Dodgers still alive, one of three teams in baseball still having their season going, so that's good. They are down 3-2 in the best of seven against a team that won 103 games in the season, and they have to win two games at Wrigley Field, where the Cubs were 57-24 this year. So
24.
So they're gonna. In fact, and the Dodgers hung a 25 on them. So all I know is that when Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill start in this series, the Cubs have not scored. So they're the starters the last two games for the Dodgers. So all they have to do, just keep the Cubs scoreless, and then the Dodgers will find a way to win both games. So
you have to think the Dodgers should be favored in each game individually, but not by a ton, especially in tonight. Just because Arrieta has not been so great if he does start game seven. But that said, when you have to win, 260s in a row, that's still about a third. So,
yeah, exactly. That's the down. I mean, even if you're really, really good, like I even went, I just wrote something quickly on just some numbers, like in best of seven MLB playoff history, like 47 times a team has been down 3-2. 20 of the 47, they force game seven, but only 10 of those 47 have won the series. So, I mean, yeah, the odds are stacked against you, but it basically comes down to this. Like, so if you're evenly matched teams, right, you have a 50% chance of winning a game. That means you have a 25% chance of winning two in a row, which is only, one in four. So you're at a disadvantage if you're evenly matched. If you're so good that you're like if you're going to win 70% of the time, which is like unheard of in most, that's like what Kershaw against like the worst team in baseball or something, or, you might see them a 70% favorite or something. Even that, you're only going to win the two in a row, like just about half the time. So, like, the odds are tough, but, I mean, that's why we watch, too. I mean, it's not over by any means. So, it's just, like, that's what makes the it's why we watch. And
One of my favorite sports memories is the 2006 AFC Championship, when the Colts were down 21-3 to the Patriots. And the only way I didn't, just kind of fade into nothingness was reminding, well, If you want to have a sports memory, this is how it has to start. You have to start against the odds.
So I'm on one hand, like I didn't have a specific rooting interest in that in the Brady Manning wars, as it were, except for the fact that the Patriots are pure evil. So yeah. I obviously against them. So I was always on Manning's side in those battles, and they're the pick six, right? Where they were down 21-3, if I remember right, in that game. And I just remember feeling so bad because like they had never beaten them, and I was like, you got to be kidding me! Yeah. Like, and then
so
and
take how you felt and amplify it, times 100. Yeah, and that's how I felt.
Slowly and methodically, they just pounded them on their way to winning. But
my mantra was, this is how I would want to win. This is how I would want to break that streak. And here we are in a championship series. Dodgers are down, but you've got similar to Peyton Manning, you've got the best in the game going for you. So
and it's a year where things have actually gone right for Clayton Kershaw in terms of he did have the bullpen sort of give back quite a bit, of what he worked on in a short rest start. But for the most part, everything has kind of worked out for Kershaw, this postseason. Fewer and fewer people are talking about how he's can't pitch in October. Like, there's more and more people, like, they're more in awe of what he's doing this month. So, you have a sort of a good feeling about Kershaw going into game six. And then, you hope that Rich Hill does more of what he did in game three, in game seven, if it goes that far. And then you're trying to get Kenley Jansen to to close out however many innings he needs to close out the game. But also, this is where the offense sort of comes in and be nice to sweep whatever problems they have under the rug. And
other
and
than that sort of trash time, you know, ninth inning and game five, Dodgers offense has not looked particularly ferocious.
This series has been so weird. Like, so I'd say they obviously peaked at in game three. So they won that game 6-0 with, you know, they had a couple home runs. Everything's looking great. They're actually up 2-1.
If we had recorded after game three, you and I would be elated.
Right.
Making it would, World like series plans.
And then like, man, two just stinkers at home after that. Like, yep. You know, short starts, 3 2/3 each. And I know Maeda was a little mad at being pulled, but also he was also missing over the plate and has been crap for a month. So he didn't really track for me, but bullpen didn't pitch well, in either game. They made mistakes. They made four errors in game four. They were sloppy in game five. The Pedro Baez experience reached a new low. Like Joe Bland gave up another home run. You know, it just everything that gone wrong could have gone wrong. And then like the tone of the series completely changed. Like, but it also gives hope. Like, so, you know, Corey Seager has had a couple, decent games in a row, but I think on the whole, he's generally struggled in this postseason. Mm-hmm. Like if you look right now, he's 6-for-18. With, I believe, 429 on base. I think it's two walks and a hit by pitch or something like that. So he's not having a bad series. He doesn't have an extra base hit in the series. But last series was like those three first inning hits and nothing else, pretty much. Or maybe I think he had one other hit. He hasn't had a bad postseason. But like if you look at like Anthony Rizzo and Addison Russell. Russell was 1-for-24, and Rizzo was 2-for-26 before they both sort of jointly went off in game four. Russell, they both kept it going in game five. Russell homered again. They both homered in game four. So if that's and Matt, I thought Joe Maddon, like both times he was sort of preaching patience. Like, look, these guys they're good hitters. I'm not gonna like panic just because they're in a slump. They're still my best players, and I think like you know with someone like Seager. That's going to track, same goes for like most of the offense. I think if they could just get, some of the big guys going, then that goes a long way with sort of, building up the offense and, you know, sort of fueling a comeback.
So obviously the hope is for game six to look a lot like game two. With Kershaw dominating, possibly just straight bridging into Kinley. A few more runs for nerves' sake wouldn't be bad, but we'll take 1-0 as sure. Well if that's how it needs to be. Game seven, you know, an elimination game. Rich Hill, even at his best, has, you know, gone six, and you know, he's given Dodgers plenty of, like, really good five-inning kind of games. So game seven imagines to be another one of those sort of all hands on deck. Is that how you see these going? We'll start step one. Do you think the Dodgers win tonight?
With Kershaw on the mound, I think they do, and I think it's much more likely in game six that Kershaw hands the ball directly to Kinley, although that's not literally true since he won't be on the mound at the same time. But like I think you look at like the formula tonight is essentially Kershaw for seven, Kinley for two. And, you know, it depends on how he's going. Like, he only threw 84 pitches in game two, but, like, that seventh inning was pretty stressful, and they did take him out. That's where the speculation was fueled that he might go on short rest in game five because he didn't throw as much. But I think I'm not sure. I guess it depends on where they are in the order, right? Like, if I could see Kershaw, if he's at the same scenario he was the other night, I could see him maybe going into the eighth. But I think if it's like the bottom of the order or something, but I think they'll go to Kinley fairly quickly tonight. And I think a six out save is just about where they have him. and probably two nights in a row. So yeah, you have to sort of find a bridge to Kenley in game seven in that case. So that's going to be, and I think they're going to trust, I think they trust Joe Blanton again. Like it could be matchup based. Like they could bring in Grant Dayton if it's a lefty, and then you do a matchup thing. If it could be as bad as they both looked in game five, like Baez and Blanton could both see time. But it's probably, if I had to guess, like their ideal is probably something like Rich Hill for six, Blanton for the seventh, and then Kenley for 8-9. It with, you know, obviously if they have a lead. If they don't have a lead, then it gets tricky. You're just it's probably more, still the same, like probably maybe I guess. And then also what's going to factor in is when Rich Hill bats, right? Like, so he could pitch five, but his spot could come up in the top of the sixth and they have to pinch hit for him because it's either a one run game or something. So that could factor into it and kind of throw a monkey wrench into things. But I expect him to be able to pitch six or so in game seven. But I do think they're going to have to find a way to bridge to Kenley, which will make it much more, you know, stressful. And but also, you know, that's sort of where the offense comes in and sort of can smooth a little bit of that over with maybe a bigger lead than say 1-0 or whatever. So we'll see.
So while this has the chance of being the ultimate game, we're obviously hoping it'll be the penultimate game. This will not be the ultimate podcast of the season. Regardless of what happens, you and I will be back, hopefully to celebrate and start figuring out who's going to DH and what on earth the starting rotation is going to look like in the World Series. But if it's to commiserate, that's what we'll do.
Yeah. So I figure our next recording figures to be Monday or Tuesday. And it's either going to be, like you said, it's going to be a World Series preview, or it's going to be a, oh, hey, look, it's the off season. Like, so, talk about the tone of both of those podcasts are completely different. Yeah, so. So just so you know, the two times the Dodgers forced a game seven when they were down 3-2, way back 1947, they won game six in Yankee Stadium, and then they lost game seven 5-2. 1956, they were down 3-2 because Don Larsen threw a perfect game in game five. So if there was ever a time to pack up and fold, it was that. But they came back and they won. They were back home for the last two, and they won the game six in Ebbets Field in a 10-inning 1-0 game that saw Clem Labine pitch all 10 innings. Jackie Robinson drove in Jim Gilliam for the winner. But then they lost game seven, 9-0.
I don't like this trend.
Yeah. So
trends were meant to be broken.
Yeah. I mean this, but then like, okay. So if you're also looking at that, the Cubs, with a chance to, go to the World Series, for like win one game to get to the World Series since divisional play began 1969, they're 0-6. So they were, they had a 2-0 lead in 84 against the Padres and then lost all three. They had the one, I think game three was the Leon Durham game where he had the error right through the legs. The play that like no one, like it was a much more famous like through the legs play than Bill Buckner happened 2 years later. So nobody ever remembers Leon Durham except in Chicago, I think. And then Steve Garvey also homered in one of those games as a walk-off for the Padres. And then in 2003, famously, the Cubs were up 3-1, and they lost the last three games to the Marlins, including I don't even want to bring up his name because it's going to be beaten to death tonight is the Steve Bartman game in game six, when he was clearly not the only one trying for that ball. And yet he's like the worst villain in history, even though there's like 10 people around him who all did the same thing. But also Alex Gonzalez made the error in that game. I couldn't find specific isolated video of this. There's some things floating around YouTube, but even more egregious in game six was Bernie Mac. The late Bernie Mac did the seventh inning stretch in game six. And I don't remember how many times he said it, but he kept saying, "Champs, we're champions." if you believe in jinxes, it was the jinxiest jinx that ever jinxed. It was, he's like doing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning stretch. And the whole time he's just going, "Champs, champs." So I was hoping if I could just find video of that, they just played that tonight, that'd be awesome. But we'll see. No, it's going to be tough. You never know, one of these games. So could turn on a dime. Go either way, but you know, hey, a nice little couple 10-run games would be
okay.
Yeah. So
I want sadcubsfan.gif. That's all I want.
Anything else you think of heading into game six?
No, I think I'm too nervous to think of anything too much more intelligent to say. Hopefully that gets elated come Saturday or Sunday evening, excuse me.
So, yeah, and then to put the Dodgers sort of what the Dodgers are up against too, they just have to face the major league leader in ERA this season, Kyle Hendricks, because Kershaw had 13 fewer innings. But still, 213, nothing to sneeze at. They did only score one run against him in game two, after that, they just have to get the reigning Cy Young winner from last year, Jake Arrieta.
That's fine.
Even though last year's Cy Young pretty much should have been a Dodger award, it should have either been to Greinke if you went with the overall results, or even the more sabermetrically inclined results favored Kershaw. I think that we can all agree that award, that was one of the toughest three-way battles in history. But the Dodgers had two people who deserved it, and the Cubs had one. So let's just take that award away.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see you on Monday when we'll be talking about who's starting Game 1 of the World Series. Hopefully it's a Dodger.
Yep, and then, Corey Kluber versus Kenta Maeda in Game 1.
Let's not even think about that. That's not an egg I want to, or a chicken I want to count quite yet.
But also, speaking of counting chickens, I would bet money that Clayton Kershaw is pitching on 3 days rest in game two rather than saving him.
This is far too much. I'm finding some wood to knock on, and we'll talk on Monday.
Yeah. All right. So Clayton Kershaw, three more starts left this season. We'll see you next week.